Welcome to our regular scheduled village board meeting. It's Monday, November 22nd at top of the hour, 7 o'clock. So I'll ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Bachner?
Here.
Trustee Gillis?
Here.
Trustee Vasquez?
Here.
Trustee Brennan?
Here.
Trustee Johnson?
Here.
Trustee O'Connell?
Here.
President Ducey?
Here. All right. If I can ask you all to please stand for the pledge of allegiance.
The flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okie dokie. Okay. So we have two public comments. So Sedgwick, I don't see the caller. Oh, there it is. Okay. So we have you, Sedgwick, out there on Zoom?
Yeah, Mark is here.
Okay. Oh, I see it comes up as Corey.
Corey is also here.
Yeah, I'm with Jameson Southern.
Mark. All right. Just want to make sure we know who's who. All right, so we'll let you all give us an update on the activity.
All right, well, this is Mark. We'll let Corey do a sales update, and then I'll follow up with financing and construction. Corey, whenever you're ready.
Yep, I'm just unmuting right now. So as of last night, we run our sales reports on Sunday nights. As of last night, we have 13 of the 22 are sold. I think it's got us at 59% of the units and like 63% of the dollars. We continue to get we get very good inquiries and appointments there. We run between 3 to 5 inquiries per week. We run anywhere from 2 to 4 appointments during the week. And our conversion rate at this project versus other projects in our portfolio, it's like nothing else. Product acceptance by the market is higher than any of our other projects by far. We run about a little over 30% of the people who come in and buy a home, which is remarkably high in our industry. That runs, open house conversion rates run somewhere around 1.5% a year. So it's very high. So the market seems to like it. We've had a couple of other interesting updates. I haven't been on most of these, but in the last, I was on one a few months ago. And since that time, something notable, our highest price points have been achieved twice. We had one later that came on at $1.4 million. And then we just had another sale earlier in the month that was just shy of $2 million. So these are price points that really hadn't been seen in River Forest up until now, but there had been some unmet market demand that we seem to have picked up.
All right.
Okay. Great, Corey. Thank you.
Yep.
From a financing standpoint, as we've mentioned, we have selected a lender and working through the typical loan due diligence process, obtaining the required reports. The appraisal is in progress and working with the lender through the underwriting. On the construction side, last week was a lot of site prep for the work to follow. May not mean much to people, but silt fencing, that's more of an erosion soil management measure that was done around the perimeter of the site. At the drive lane access, they put in stone, not only for the vehicles to have proper traction in the event that the site were to get wet, but also to minimize the dirt that would come off the site into the sidewalk and street. And they're working on what's called an SWPP, Street Water Pollution Protection Plan, which is pretty much putting a netting in any of the catch basins or any areas that would be subject to any runoff from the site, which is being limited by the silt fence. They've prepared for their purposes a site survey. They've also coordinated with Julie for any kind of digging that has to be done within a municipality. And they're currently working on a waste management profile and manifest in coordination with the soils that will be removed off site. And as many people may have seen, tree cutting was also underway and trees on the site as well. This week, due to the holiday, there'll be limited activity. There was also a requirement by through this waste profiling that they had to get a letter from IEPA, which came in a latter part of last week. So there may not be much activity this week as far as physically on site, but the preparation, the sort of off-site preparation will continue with the expectation that site activity will be coming right after the holiday next week.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Anybody else that want to speak from Sedgwick? Okay. All right.
Could I ask a question?
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks for that update. And I just wanted to ask two questions. Is there any update on the commercial sales?
Commercial sales, no, nothing additive. It sits where we previously reported with, I don't know that I remember the numbers, but I think we had like 50% of the sale of the space, an LOI in place, and 50% of the space in various levels of negotiation.
Okay. And then also, I just wanted to continue to ask you to keep coming. I know we want to hear from you and the residents want to hear from you. And don't feel like you just need to come once a month. If there's any update in the two-week period, please come to any upcoming Village Board meeting and give us any updates that you have. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so we'll do. I don't know that 2 weeks ago we had much of an update, but and then with the holiday taking next week or this week, I'm not sure within 2 weeks we'll have much of an update, but certainly can stay on the monthly, and then we can keep an eye on the every other week.
Yeah, and we'll keep. I know Lisa has a conversation with you all, Kyle, on a fairly regular basis, so Lisa can also update us as well.
Right. And I think we've made the introduction with the construction team and Jeff as well, so there'll be communications that way as well.
Yeah, thanks. That's correct. That's good. Okay, thank you. All right. Phil, we're going on to the next public comment.
All right, thank you.
Hi, I'm Phyllis Rubin. I live at 411 Ashland, just south of Lake and Lathrop. I'm glad to hear they gave a report. It was not on the agenda, which is why one of the reasons I'm here in person, why weren't they on the agenda?
Oh, sorry. You can always call Lisa or myself. I mean, we just put them on the public comment section.
Will this go in the minutes, what he said?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay. So that was my first question. Okay. Are they not on the agenda tonight? They should be. I agree with you. They should come as often as they can to give you an update, to give us an update.
Right.
I'm glad they started. I check on things. They do have, there's two piles of white rocks in the site. I didn't check the driveway. Maybe they're doing the driveway. It sounds like they are. That's really all that I can see since the 17th, when I got woken up at quarter to seven with the noise. I believe they're supposed to start at seven.
Oh, sorry.
See what I mean? there's a team actually watching this, not just me. So I just want to make some comments. If that we want this to be a successful building, we really do want this to be a successful building for our corner, for our neighborhood, and for River Forest. Alpha Construction, there's something called Build Zoom, which rates construction companies. They get a zero. And in fact, Build Zoom says, don't go to anybody who has a rating under 95. Has anybody checked why?
That's not really within our purview. They can get a contractor license. And
okay.
It's up to the development team to make the decision who they want to use.
Okay. So do we know who Alpha Construction is? Oh, I got a letter. This came from Alpha Construction, not from the village, right? Because it says Alpha down here.
That was sent by Sedgwick in conjunction with their contractor.
Alpha Construction is the same as Sedgwick?
No, but they teamed up to get that information pulled together for the neighbors.
Okay, so it says, call with questions or concerns to Ed Kemitz, head of construction operations. I called him today. He sent me to Kyle. he sent me to Kyle.
Kyle, okay.
Which I said, but so why does this tell me to call you with questions and concerns?
Okay.
Then he told me what I wanted to know. I have to say that. But, you know, I'm just wondering what this relationship is. You know, is it really a separate construction company or is it really connected to Sedgwick? I don't know. I don't know if you know the answer to that.
Well, it's a contractor of Sedgwick's, right?
Sedgwick. Corey, you're still on, or
Mark? Mark, you're muted. You may have to press star 6 to unmute yourself.
Let's see. Didn't know I was muted. All right. No, they are independent businesses and companies, but they we do work together frequently.
Okay. Different people on your administration team or management team?
Different staff, yes.
Okay. You know, something that was I left out of my questions last month, but why are the 2 inches of topsoil unsuitable for construction?
Well, we've discussed that. It's not the first 2 inches. It's the first 2 feet. It's considered not structural. Yeah, it's not structural in what they refer to as unsuitable, meaning it's full of what they call organics, materials that cannot be compressed and have any structural value. So it's common in the city that you can have up to 6 or 7 foot of unsuitable soil. Here on this particular site, it's only a couple of feet. So we do a geotech report that bores into the ground to 30 to 50 feet. And it tells you the quality of the soil at every foot and determine that down to 2 feet, that top 2 feet of soil has no structural abilities.
Hmm. Okay. Considering I know nothing about this. Okay. all right. I think that's really all I'm asking now. And
okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we'll try to keep you posted too, you know, with... Mm-hmm. Sedgwick coming. Sorry, Phyllis. All right. Very good. Thank you.
So just to piggyback off of her comments, just to get some information for the public, the contractors that developers use, they have to go through the village. What's that process that people understand that?
Sure. We do not license general contractors, but we license by trade. So it sounds like there's somebody on the call who maybe needs – okay, thanks. So we license by trade. So a general contractor isn't necessarily performing a trade, but if the general contractor is also doing carpentry work, they get licensed as a carpenter through the village. So carpenters, electrical contractors, mechanical contractors, they all have to be licensed through the village, which means they have to prove up that they have insurance and can provide a surety bond. And if there are any state-associated licenses that are required for that trade, they have to prove that up as well. So, for instance, plumbers have to show that they have a state plumbing license. So any contractor that works or that can show us that they meet those credentials is ultimately issued a license. We do not do any type of Better Business Bureau review. We don't make decisions about who to license based on their individual performance of the company.
Okay, thanks. And I did just a quick Google search and on this one page that I got kind of random, Alpha Construction Services, LLC, and it says the trade name is Sedgwick Properties Development. Maybe Sedgwick can tell us.
So you did a Google search on what?
On Alpha and Sedgwick.
And it came up as a subsidiary?
It says a trade name.
The trade.
Sedgwick Properties Development. So.
Well, I believe it's because Alpha does most, primarily Alpha's book of business is with Sedgwick Properties. I don't know why they're associating the two entities. They're, you know, legally two different business entities.
Maybe we can have a talk with them. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Let's move on to elected officials' comments and announcements. We'll go around the, you know, do maybe a liaison update too, if you don't mind, on your committees, if that would be helpful. So, Bob, do you want to start out there in wherever you're at? Bob?
Yeah, I'm here. Have no comment. Just want to wish everyone a happy and safe Thanksgiving. I think we all have a lot to be thankful for, especially coming out of the pandemic. The other thing I wanted to share was, I don't know if you know it, but booster shots are available at Jewel-Osco. I had a pretty seamless experience over there. So if residents want to go over there, they can either call and make an appointment or go online and make an appointment, or they're doing quite a bit of walk up. I think their hours were 11 to 7 during the week and 11 to 6 on the weekends, but called Jewel, but those are available now for our residents. Other than that, that's all I got for right now. As far as a liaison update, I was unable to attend the last EDC meeting, but again, I think they're starting to, you know, go through some of the processes and understand some of the work that's gone on in the past. And I think as they get together more and more, they'll start to kind of gel a little bit better over the next couple of weeks. So that's what I got for right now.
So Bob, you might want to also add about the for sale sign that we're going to put up on.
Oh, yes. Yes. So we've asked Lisa and the staff to have a development site available signs put on both the corner property at Lakin Park and the one immediately across the street from the Village Hall, the one that's got the driveway where two police cars are normally parked. And so hopefully, you know, maybe somebody will come along that's got some interest that is kind of a non-traditional developer role, and we might have some be able to look at some opportunities to dispose of those properties. So, so when you see those in the next couple of days, that's what's going on. Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah, sure. Okay,
thank you. Mm-hmm. I don't have any initial comments. I would say also, wish all our residents a happy Thanksgiving, and also to add that as we move towards the holiday season, it's Christmas light or holiday light season, and so to be careful and patient when you're putting up your lights, be careful of the weather, and ensure that you're not too much of a nuisance on your residents, as you, on your neighbors, as you go into the holiday season with the lighting.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Ken. Katie?
Yep, thanks. And I'll add to Bob's comment that booster shots are also available at Walgreens in town. That's where I got mine. Okay, I've got a couple things. One is I attended the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus DEI Task Force call, a Zoom call. Kathy, I saw you joined in too. That was a good one. And I think I've got the materials and then I can send them to you.
I think I sent them to you guys.
Did you? Excellent.
Yeah, thing, yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
Okay. And then also the dementia-friendly training, which was at the Sheridan last week. They had a good crowd there, including a bunch of library staff and someone from the township and some from the Oak Park Conservatory and the chamber, et cetera. Really good training. And they also offered to come and train our staff. I don't think I've received the materials from them yet, but when I do, I'll forward them to you, Lisa. And they
Great.
Offered something like a lunch and learn.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Take.
Yeah,
it
we did.
We did that. Do it again. If we have new staff who've not had an opportunity, we'd be happy to add it.
I think this is separate. It's some sort of a certification.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They said this is the first one that they had done.
Okay.
So different. And then the last thing is just a couple of comments on yard waste. Since we're in the middle of our yard waste pickup season, a reminder, plastic pots are not supposed to be out there with the organic matter. I see a lot of plastic pots out there, and that's tainting our pickup. It's easy just to take the pots out. And I know that residents aren't putting the beer cans out there, but take the beer cans out too. No wires, like the structures for wreaths and tomato cages, those have to come out too. Also, it'd be horrible if you sort of park near or semi on a pile of leaves and you end up, you know, on those wires. Our residents all share the cost of the landscape waste pickup. We're charged by the pound. So it's better if you also pull the earth out from, if you're going to put potted plants out there that you don't want anymore, pull the earth off of them, put them in your gardens, put them around your trees. Then we all pay less. And that's all I have.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Those are good updates. John?
Nothing new to add. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I also want to join in all the other trustees in wishing everybody a happy and safe Thanksgiving. Trustee Brennan beat me to the punch on the November 15th dementia-friendly certification training. And our staff, meaning the fire department, the police department, were trained on it. And I'm sure as more employees come in, they are. This is the equivalent of what used to be referred to as the ambassadors. They were trained ambassadors to actually go out to the businesses and have them also train, be aware of dementia friendly. So totally a plus to have and continue doing that. So I thank Lydia and Helen Kwan for taking the lead on those, on that training too, because they started that back. And they're still part of the dementia friendly working group that meets every month on a Monday afternoon. So if they're listening, thank you. The other thing I wanted to report on our dementia age-friendly committee is, as you may recall, our needs assessment, we were going to put together a survey, which we have, and the status is we already sent a pre-survey letter back on October the 29th to let the people know that to expect that they were going to get the actual survey. And then on November the 4th, the surveys were sent out to the residents who are supposed to get them. We're doing a random sample. And then on November the 18th, we did a quick postcard reminding them, if they haven't completed the survey, to please do so. We will then also send out another letter with the survey for those who did not turn in the survey. Residents are either turning it in by electronically, filling it in electronically to us, or they can just fill out the hard copy and then deliver the hard copy to us, or mail it in, actually. It's already pre-stamped. So far, so good. It's looked like it's moving ahead, and we're looking forward to it. We're expecting about 335 residents to respond to this survey. So we're hoping we will collect all responses by early January. So that's it.
Looking forward to it. Interesting to see what comes back. Thank you,
yep.
Fred. Yep. Lisa?
Hello. Happy Thanksgiving. Might as well make sure we've covered everybody off on that. I did, after a couple of months of not being able to attend the Sustainability Commission meeting, went to one and was really excited to hear all the stuff that they're doing. I think that the team is kind of really working well together. They are going to start pursuing Soul Smart Silver, which I think is really, really great. They're working to get the village, get all ducks in a row for the village to participate in the Mayor's Metropolitan Caucus Community Solar Program. So making sure that, like, you know, all the requirements are met. We're also working to enhance and improve community communications. We do a great, I think that the team does a great job of those communications. So I think they're trying to figure out how do they make them better. And thank you to Sarah and Elijah and Jonathan for all the great work that you've done since, gosh, before I even joined the committee, you guys were involved in that. They did provide feedback on the waste hauler contract. And I forgot to tell you that Eric Simon cannot come tonight because he had a family emergency. So I know that he was going to be here to support. So I will be your support on that if we need it. And this pumpkin smash was a smashing success, no pun intended, with this year almost doubling the weight of composted.
Wow.
So we're like up 90%. It's pretty crazy. So those one of the enhancements they're making, the team is trying to make to communications, is we talked about the pumpkin smash and actually getting back out there with what happened on the pumpkin smash. So I think something like that's going to go into the newsletter this week. And that's it for now. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thanks.
Yes, I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. And with that, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I'll say my first what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for our village staff and the police and the fire and all of you around this table and for our residents. And I just hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving. That's all. Oh, the update from DEI Advisory Committee. We continue to do educational work around DEI. We continue to brainstorm and come up with what with ideas for what we would like to focus on, and so that work is just ongoing.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that Lisa, you and or Ken want to add to that?
No, I would just add that Erica's being bashful, but she did a wonderful presentation at the last DEI meeting, and you know, as a group, we all mostly agree that it's about initially getting the education of what DEI is, what it means to us and who we are and where we stand on issues. And so we're developing that and ongoing, trying to figure out the whole system and what others are doing. And so as this goes along, it's just nice to have Erica assisting on this. She's doing a great job.
I'd call you, you know, you're modest, not bashful. I mean, you're pretty.
You're right.
So, okay, thank you. Thank
She's
you.
Blushing now.
Yeah.
To the mask. So.
All right, so just a little bit. Like Katie said, I attended the DEI task force. It was great. I think I sent all it out to everyone. It was
two emails, right?
Yeah, okay. Two emails. Naperville did a really nice job of talking through the DEI, I thought. Katie mentioned about the, what to put into the leaf collection, and I agree with you, but I also believe we need to do some education to our landscaping contractors. So I just leaned over to Lisa, and I said, I think this is something we need to work with our landscaping, so I'd like to get something out to our contractors, you know, saying that, you know, what not to put into the leaves for their, because I personally saw my own landscaping put out there, and I had to go pick out the pumpkins and everything out of there. So we'll see if we can get them a little educated on what not to put into the leaves. I also attended a Proviso Township meeting with Cook County Clerk and Recorder Deeds, Karen Yarborough. And interesting, you know, she is responsible for our election judges. So if you know any young person that, or anyone for that matter, that wants to be an election judge, she's pleading with all of the mayors and the municipalities around here to, invite younger people to apply. You know, as she says, we'll train them, we'll feed them, and we'll pay them. So that's not a bad gig. So she also said, which I thought was pretty interesting, she said, average age of the election judge is 71. Average age.
One of the reasons why having younger people, especially right now, is important is just because with everything with COVID.
Yeah.
And so it may be a little bit more, maybe tougher for people who are older to be able to participate in those things. So if we can get young blood in there.
We can include that in our upcoming communication.
Yeah, that would be great.
So we'll add that to the list of things for communication.
Thank you.
Sure.
So that's all I have. So we'll go ahead and.
Hey Kathy.
Yes.
Kathy, I had a question. I think the date is around December 1st. You guys were talking about landscaping, where we stopped picking up leaves. Can someone confirm that date and put it on the village website? Because I've got a couple of questions about that.
Like, you have a question now?
No, I had a question over the weekend. Somebody asked me when we stopped picking up the leaves out of the street. Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, no worries.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, good point. All right. So then we'll move on to recognition of our Officer Ben Ransom, who's the big winner of the Elderly Service Officer of the Year Award from the Illinois Attorney General.
Someone's excited.
Yeah.
Good evening, Madam President and members of the Village Board. Tonight, it's almost something to continue what Trustee Bachner said about thanking the police department. These two awards we're going to give tonight demonstrate our officers, really their dedication to vulnerable communities and also to public safety in general. And we got a great slideshow for you on the second award. And for those that remember Glenn Cernick, Sergeant Glenn Cernick, mm-hmm. that's now heading up our midnight shift. We were here several years ago, pre-COVID, to honor Officer Glenn Cernick at the time for receiving this same award. And what's unusual that we were told by the Illinois Attorney General's office, to have two of your members receive this award in such a small amount of time, and also to have the same law enforcement agency recognized twice is once again special and unique, and it's something the whole community should be proud of. Mm-hmm. So tonight, once again, we're here for the Elderly Service Officer of the Year Award issued by the Illinois Attorney General's Office. On October 28, 2021, Officer Ransom received the Elderly Service Officer's Award from the Illinois Triad on behalf of the Illinois Attorney General's Office. The Triad is a partnership which involves senior citizens, law enforcement agencies, and support protective services who agree to work together on reducing criminal senior victimization and enhancing available senior services. In addition to serving as the River Forest Police Elderly Service Officer, Officer Ransom also acts as the department's crime prevention officer, business liaison officer, school resource officer to all our local schools, in addition to many other hats that some of you already know that he wears. Officer Ransom is deeply involved in our local senior services program and is well deserving of this prestigious award, which is also reflective on River Forest as a community. He has gone above and beyond in his efforts to protect and serve older residents in the River Forest community. And without further ado, Officer Ransom, would you please step up to receive the award and say a couple words?
Hello, everyone. Thank you. It's no surprise to all of you of just how forward-thinking the village is with supporting our elderly services, and it's a very proactive approach that you all take. I don't no need to preach to the choir, but stepping into this position, I saw it from the get-go, just the framework that was set up, the partnerships, the networking that was there for me to engage in, the age-friendly, dementia-friendly River Forest, the partnerships to the township, our multidisciplinary team through the township where we look at cases of abuse and neglect, work together collectively to come up with solutions, and not to mention the new partnerships we're making, such as with the Sheridan. So all of those collaboratively really set me up from the beginning to just excel and exceed and be successful and to represent well. So I thank you for that. And thank you, Chief O'Shea, and the command staff here at the River Forest Police Department, who always give me the support and the latitude to kind of think outside the box and get creative, such as during the pandemic where we worked with the senior COVID-19 task force to kind of be creative and solve problems that we saw that were there for the elderly, who are, of course, probably the most at risk. So being able to do that, I think, really sets us apart from other departments, other crime prevention units and elderly service units. And so it's always been a collaborative effort, and I'm honored to be the face of that. So thank you very much.
Yeah. And President Adusi, we'll take a photo with you.
Yeah, love to. I think we'll come out over here.
You want to go to the front?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say real quick, on behalf of the village, the staff, the trustees, Ben, thank you for all that you do for our village, and congratulations on a well-deserved award. We are glad you're here, and we are grateful for our police and fire department and public safety officials. You do make a difference in our community, and, you know, especially those that are elderly or need additional help. So thank you on behalf of all of us. Thank you.
So on to our next award and presentation this evening. And once again, I'm going to say a couple years ago, we were in the same spot, this time once again with Corporal Dan Humphreys, and we won the Illinois Traffic Safety Award and actually the grand prize at this time. We're not eligible to win the grand prize for several years, but we still won first place in our category, and there are some grant-related awards that we did receive. The River Forest Police Department has been named the first place Illinois Traffic Safety Challenge winner for 2020-2021 Municipal 26 to 35 Sworn Officer Agency category for the 2020-2021 competition year. River Forest was also first place and grand prize winner of the contest in the 2019 to 2020 competition year. Coordinating both these significant awards was Corporal Dan Humphreys, who's here tonight and will provide a brief PowerPoint on some of the highlights. Corporal Humphrey is a traffic enforcement officer in addition to serving as a patrol corporal and field training officer. Because of his dedicated and innovative traffic enforcement and education efforts, the River Forest Police Department has again been recognized as amongst the best of its peers. The Safety Challenge is a friendly competition between similar size and type law enforcement agencies. It is a program coordinated by the Illinois Chiefs of Police and the Traffic Committee supported by NHTSA, grant administered through the Illinois Department of Transportation Bureau of Safety Programs and Engineering. That's a lot to say.
Yeah, it sure is.
As well as...
No comment in that?
As well as much appreciated funding from private entity. The challenge is much more than a peer competition. It's a template for law enforcement agencies to identify traffic issues, plan strategies, reduce social harm, and improve quality of life in their communities. The challenge helps agencies demonstrate successes to their government officials, community leaders, and citizens. The Illinois Traffic Safety Challenge provides law enforcement agencies with an opportunity to contribute to the Illinois Strategic Highway Safety Plan, another acronym in there also, and have a significant impact on the reduction of crashes, deaths, and assorted injuries across the state. This award confirms that the River Forest Police Department has demonstrated again that they are one of the most successful agencies in the state when it comes to traffic safety. And at this time, I'd like to bring up Corporal Humphreys, who will go through a brief PowerPoint presentation for you and explain some of the highlights of the award, and also presentation for the award to hopefully go next to the one from a few years ago. Corporal?
All right. Thanks, Chief. This is like a 70-page project, so I'm not going every page. This is just a quick highlight of some of the pages I'm going to go through. But they do set the different chapters in place. Do they look at your policy and guidelines within the police department, the training and education that we receive as officers on a yearly basis for traffic safety. And then incentives and recognition, how we recognize our officers for their outstanding traffic enforcement. Public information education, how the village, how the police department, how we educate the public on traffic safety issues and concerns. And then it looks at our enforcement activity throughout the year and how effective those are as well. Just briefly, just an overview of the village and the police department. And just describes who we are so that the judges have a good taste of what we have to offer. So it looks at our policies and guidelines, so specifically our general orders on like DUI enforcement and making occupant protection a number one priority and requiring all officers to ensure that they're also wearing their seatbelts at all times. Some training that goes on throughout the year as well with impaired driving, different the breath test operators that get both the PBT and the breath machine at the station, just a part of continuing our enforcement efforts with impaired driving. So incentives and recognition, we recognize officers on the department for outstanding occupant protection throughout the year, as well as their speed enforcement efforts throughout the year and distracted driving efforts. The fourth category is impaired driving efforts, not only within the department, but also with the AAIM, the Alliance Against Intoxicated Motorists. Our officers are often awarded with those types of recognition. Then public information education, how we as the public use the village website and social media to display our traffic safety information. Moving on, we also use the speed trailers and all of our speed signs to educate the public on their speed and the speed limits within the village. And then you see our lots of news release and blasts for impaired driving events going on around the holidays when we conduct IDOT traffic grants with all the major holidays. We also do child safety seat inspections and installation services that are offered here. We had an event earlier this year. So that's one thing that our department does on a yearly basis to ensure all young ones are properly secured. So our enforcement efforts, it breaks down. There's a lot of statistics here. I'm not going to bore you with them all, but it just goes over the top citations that we issued throughout the year. It's speeding is obviously the number one here, and then just the traffic stop, the outcome. So when someone stopped, what's the outcome of it? Are they cited? Are they warned? Are they arrested? Or so on and so forth. So speeding, there was 579 speeding citations in 2020. Obviously, it was the pandemic year. It was those numbers are lower than previous years due to the limited traffic on the roadways and everything. So then occupant protection with seatbelt enforcements, we were able to get a couple seatbelt enforcement details in place on the right throughout the year, even during the pandemic. So, and looking at distracted driving, we also are citing people for being on their cell phone, and DUI arrests were still there as well. And we also conducted a pedestrian crosswalk enforcement at Lake and Keystone involving plainclothes officers acting as pedestrians and kind of educating the public and the motorists, you know, of the pedestrian right of way on a crosswalk statute. Overall citations as well, obviously they were down because of the COVID year, but you can see we do a phenomenal job at making sure we're out there educating the public and issuing citations when appropriate. So a lot of statistics, occupant protection just goes over our numbers. They look at our numbers throughout the last 3 years and if they've improved, impaired driving arrests and citations as well. Then also we use traffic crash data to analysis throughout the village to basically direct our enforcement efforts in those areas where we see a high volume of traffic crashes throughout the village. A good thing with the benefit of having less vehicles on the road last year or during 2020 during the pandemic, we had fewer crashes. So that was good to see. These are more statistics on the times of day, the accidents, the hit and runs and the time frames and stuff like that. So we use all of that in order to focus our attention on those times, those days and everything like that for our efforts. So with that, we received the first place award with our category municipal 26 to 34 sworn officers. And for this year, our first place prize was a stalker police radar unit and a 40-hour truck enforcement officer training education. So that was that was very nice.
Yeah, very nice.
And I know a few of you are wondering, we do have an electronic copy of the study, complete copy for you, and also there's a hard copy available for viewing also. At this time, Madam President, this is the award that was received.
Very nice.
And for consideration to go to the next one. And I'd like to thank Corporal Humphreys again for his hard work. This is a lot of work.
So I just want to say thanks, you know, outside of our elderly population, traffic and safety is the next big issue in River Forest. So we can't say enough about both Dan, your work, and of course the police department's work on traffic and safety issues. It's a big thing for us, so we appreciate all the effort and all the data that you collect and the information that you give back to our residents. So on behalf of the village staff, the village board, and myself, I'd like to say thank you personally for all the work that you continually do for our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Great stuff. So good. That makes you want to come to work every day. All right, so up next is the consent agenda. And if I could get a motion to approve the consent agenda items A through J.
I want to make sure no one wants to reserve or any issues before I try to make a motion. No,
well,
go ahead.
No, okay. Go ahead.
Motion to approve consent agenda items A through J.
Second.
Oh, yeah, I want to pull off something. I want to pull off F, and I'll explain it, but it's good. It's good news, but F. So sorry.
Okay. F is in Frank.
F is in Frank. So A through.
Can I have to redo it, or can you just
agree
to that?
It's fine. You're okay with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And who seconded
it? I agree to it too.
Okay. Thank you, Katie. Okay. Any questions, comments on those? Hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to read out loud each item and then take the vote.
Consent agenda items A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, November 8th, 2021. B, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, November 11th, 2021. C, Village Board of Trustee executive minutes, November 8th, 2021. D, Village Board of Trustee executive minutes, November 11th, 2021. E, an ordinance amending the annual budget for corporate purposes for the fiscal year commencing on the first day of May 2021 and ending on the 30th day of April 2022 for the Village of River Forest ordinance. G, the appointment of Alfred Franz Swanson and Daniel Kelly as administrative adjudication hearing officers. H, approval of the purchasing of police department patrol vehicles. I, financial report, October 2021. J, village administrator's report. Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachman?
Yes. And the reason we want to pull F off is this is a business that wants to get a liquor license, but wants to do bigger plans. So she asked us to hold on that liquor license. So good news is that she's going to hopefully expand. So so we'll see that a little bit later down the road.
Okay.
All right. So we'll go on to item 7. Just take it, Jim.
Yeah, that's okay.
Table. Okay, 7, recommendations of boards and commissions and committees. And I do see President Hill of the library here, which is great.
Would you like a motion?
So we need a motion.
Okay, I move to approve an ordinance granting a plan development permit for River Forest Public Library, 735 Lathrop Street Avenue.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. So do you just want to take this and then ask Deb to come up?
Sure. Deb and Emily. Sure. Yep. Emily, come on up. So the River Forest Library is proposing to take existing space inside the building and repurpose it. It currently houses some mechanical equipment, and they'll be moving that mechanical equipment outside in a walled enclosure and repurposing that interior space for additional programming space to meet their public meeting needs. So this, because it involves a structure that's permanently affixed to the ground, does trigger our plan development process. And so they went through the public hearing process. They held a neighbor meeting, had a public hearing before the Development Review Board, who unanimously recommended that the Village Board of Trustees grant the plan development permit subject to a variety of conditions which are memorialized in your packet. Mm-hmm. The DRB met last Thursday night. They adopted their findings of fact. You have an unsigned copy in the packet, but I do have a signed copy for our record. So please rest assured that the meeting minutes and the findings of fact were all unanimously approved by the DRB. So we have Emily Compton-Zack from the River Forest Public Library here with us tonight to walk us through, just kind of from a high level, some details about this plan, and we are happy to take any questions that you have.
All right. Can you hear me okay? Perfect. All right. So thank you for your time and for having us on your agenda this evening. We appreciate your consideration. I am Emily Compton, the director of the River Forest Public Library. I'll give you the quick summary and then answer any questions you have about our project. So the library is requesting approval to install an 8-foot by 13-foot air handler unit on a poured concrete pad and space exterior to the north side of the library building, and to place a 16 by 25-foot, 9-foot tall masonry enclosure around it. The library's air handler is currently housed in an interior mechanical room and is due for replacement. Our ultimate goal is to reclaim the 396 square feet of space where the air handler equipment is now to remodel into a multi-purpose room, as Lisa said. The library has one meeting room now, which is used for library programs, staff meetings and training, as well as community events and meetings. Having just one meeting room limits the library's ability to offer multiple programs at once, so we can't have one for seniors and one for children at the same time, for example. We also routinely deny requests from the community to use the room because it is in use. Adding a second multi-purpose room would alleviate these issues and be in keeping with the village's comprehensive plan, which notes the need for the library to better serve the community by working to meet the growing demand for meeting and activity space. If approved, phase one of the project involves replacing the air handler outside of the building, building the wall, and then prepping the interior space by raising the floor, which is sunken, adding a ceiling and drywall, and adding plumbing for an additional bathroom. Phase two of the project would complete the room remodel and install an accessible family restroom, which would be an impactful improvement to the building as well. I don't know if I can click forward. I can. Ooh. So this is a preliminary plan for what the room might look like, and there's the family restroom in there as well. So that's what we're hoping to do. The land occupied by the library building is leased from the River Forest Park District, who's been wonderful working with us throughout this project. The library and the Park District have come to an agreement about the project through a memorandum of understanding, including that the library can act as the interested agent throughout this plan development process and the project itself, and then ultimately maintain that space. The Park District has agreed to renew the library's lease for a term of 50 years, and the lease has been voted on and approved by both the Park District Board of Commissioners and the Library Board of Trustees, and goes into effect on December 1st, 2021. If the project is approved by the village, the lease will include the portion of land needed to install the air handler outside, so we are covered that way as well. The library also agreed to build that masonry wall around the air handler to be in keeping with the library facade, to have a more appealing look and keep the neighborhood looking nice. The Park District also agreed to allow the library to remove one locust tree, which is within the area of excavation for that wall, and the library will reimburse the Park District for the cost of the replacement trees. That will equal the total caliber inch of the locust tree. It learned a lot in this project. So a few logistics. Show you our site plan here. So the little dotted box is what I'm talking about within that little dot there. The air handler unit is marked new AHU. It would be installed on a concrete pad. The ductwork would run from inside the library out of two existing windows. We don't need to make structural changes to the building itself. And you can see on there, there's the tree with the metata line that we would need to remove. Regarding noise, the decibel level of the air handler is in the 50s range, which is equivalent to a household refrigerator. And 60, for reference, is equivalent to normal conversation, so not a noise issue. We have tried to be mindful of aesthetics and safety concerns regarding that brick wall. The brick on the enclosure will be mixed to match the library, and the enclosure will have a limestone cap, which will match the existing limestone detail on the library. At a height of 9 feet, the brick enclosure doesn't invite climbing and should also make it less likely that objects from the adjacent fields will fly into it. The wall cannot have a cover or a roof because the air handler needs free airflow, but the air handler equipment is encased in metal strong enough to withstand the odd baseball or soccer ball that might hit it. As an added safety precaution, the access gate of the enclosure will have an interior latch to allow emergency exit in case somebody gets stuck inside. So our plan, if approved, is to go out to bid in January for construction in spring or fall of 2022, depending on contractor availability and pricing. There are two options in terms of the path of construction. One, the more bendy one, is from Lathrop Avenue, and the straight is from Jackson. We're thinking at this point the path from Jackson would be less disruptive as it goes alongside rather than through Centennial Park. But we will discuss those options with the Park District and District 90 before finalizing any plans. The exterior portion of the construction will take an estimated 10 weeks, starting with excavation of the site and pouring of the pad. The pad itself takes 4 weeks to cure before we can put weight on it, so there will be minimal activity for about a month. And then we will have the air handler installed, build the enclosure around it, clean up, and go inside. So that is my summary of the project. It's certainly not a big project, I'm sure, compared to some you've seen, but it is an exciting opportunity for the library, so I'm hoping we can take advantage of it. And I thank you very much again for your consideration, and do you have any questions?
Emily? All right, I'll just open it up to the trustees if there's any questions for Emily or Deborah Hill. It's a great, yeah, you're right, exciting project, and it's a lot of work for a little space, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
Worth it.
I don't have any questions, but I am happy to see the intergovernment agreement between the Library Park District and then eventually us to see something that would be positive for all the residents here. So thank you for starting it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's all good. Okay. Doesn't sound like there's any questions because you've done such a great job.
Oh, thank you very much.
So we'll go ahead and have the clerk take the vote.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The next one is Boards Commission's appointments to the DEI Advisory Group. We had three, we just wait until we get applications. So three came in over the course of the last 2-3 weeks. And so we're just filling the vacancy, I think. So my appointments is Jerry Humbert, Chris Johnson, Jim O'Rourke, and they will then be, I think you'll be at full throttle at that level.
Okay.
We'll keep working it. So I ask that you, we motion it and second it and vote on it.
Motion to give advice and consent to the village president's appointments of Jerry Humbert, Chris Johnson, and Jim O'Rourke to the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Advisory Group.
Great.
Second.
Okay, very good. Okay, let's get any questions on them. I think they've been in the community for a long time, so I'll go ahead and ask the clerk to take the vote.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
All right, let me get to, I want to now go into new business, which is the announcement of our incoming village administrator, Brian Murphy. Brian, if you can maybe stand up. We're just announcing his appointment. We are going to vote on it in December 6th. Our policy is that for a certain level of income, we have to post it 5 days, right?
Six days.
Yep. So we're announcing you, and then we're going to post your compensation package on the website, lucky you. And then so now you'll get all the marketing calls. And then we'll take our vote on December 6th. So just for the audience, of course, the trustees and the clerk knows Brian. We interviewed Brian at length, but Brian comes from the great state of Michigan, but worked in Michigan for a long time and then moved over to the village of Plainfield for, I believe, 11 years. So he was the village administrator for Plainfield for those times. So he comes very experienced, well-versed in village management, and I think he's kind of done it all, you know, between public safety, public works, economic development, and then, you know, taking on the other challenges that we have, DEI, sustainability, and age-friendly initiatives, which are very important to our community. So we welcome you, and we look forward to a very productive and wonderful relationship between our between us and you. So, welcome. All right. So, I don't know if there's any questions anybody wants to ask of Brian, but if you do, he'll answer them anytime after the meeting. Okay. So, let's go on to our discussion, which is a bigger discussion, a discussion and direction on the waste contract. So, I will let Jeff.
Good evening. As you all know, Roy Strom Refuse has been handling the village's waste collection services for the past several years, and our current contract runs through April 30th of next year. So we have an option to renew that contract for another 5 years if we so choose,
yeah.
Or we can always go out to open market. So staff has kind of put together the information that we could to try to, you know, get some consensus from the board on how you all wish to proceed with that. We also have some members from the Strom/LRS team here this evening. So after I run through my spiel, I'll bring them up. They can say a few words, and then we'll answer any questions that you have at that time. So again, some of the high points from the memo. I don't want to bore you with all of the details in there, but on December 31st of last year, Strom was acquired by Lakeshore Recycling Systems. Though they maintain the same branding here in town and indicated that there would be no changes in service to the contract, to the current contract due to the acquisition. So far to date, we've seen no changes. The contract currently includes refuse, recycling, compost, and yard waste collection for single-family residences and multifamily residences up to 3 units. In recent months, we have had a slight uptick in calls regarding missed pickups, customer service, call time concerns, etc. So village staff met with the Strom and LRS teams to try to figure out what the impetus for those issues were. And basically start formulating a plan in terms of how we can start to address these over time, especially if we're going to continue this relationship into the future. That's very important to us as a staff. Staff has also worked closely with the Sustainability Commission, as Trustee Gillis mentioned earlier, to make sure that the village strives to meet their goals regardless of how we move forward, whether it's with Strom and the LRS team or somebody else. We certainly want to take into consideration the Sustainability Commission's goals related to this contract. The Sustainability Commission also worked with staff to create and distribute a survey to residents regarding existing and desired levels of service, program costs, areas of concern, etc. With almost 400 participants having submitted responses, the majority were generally neutral or positive in their opinions of the current contract. Staff has also done some digging for comparable and nearby community costs as they relate to this program, and we've included them as Appendix C in this packet. This is tricky. We contemplated how helpful and effective those numbers would be. We certainly wanted to provide as much information as possible, but everybody's program is nuanced and unique to their community. So you can very easily get into the weeds when you start comparing those numbers with current services. That said, I think those numbers do look fairly comparable, both though there are certainly some areas that we would strive to improve. And that's certainly something we've already discussed with the Strom and LRS team should we choose to move forward in this direction. Given the current contract terms, the village now needs to decide how to move forward with the waste collection services. So the three options that staff has identified thus far are, one, we let the current contract expire and we go out to the open market. Obviously some pros and cons to that, but certainly an option with the current contract about to expire. Two, we extend the current contract for another 5 years through April 30th of 2027. That is a unilateral decision that we can make based on the current contract that we're under. Though the level of service we would expect to maintain, we would expect to be the same. We would have to establish new numbers. The current contract does not have rates set beyond April 30th of 2022. So we would be establishing new numbers moving forward. And option three is really kind of a playoff of option two. Is we kind of head in that direction again. We try to reestablish another long-term arrangement with the Strom and LRS teams, but we take a step back and we start to reestablish what is important to us as a community, customer service elements, try to improve the rates that we are paying, and potentially, but work to address the Sustainability Commission's goals on a more aggressive basis, if at all possible. So those are the three options that staff has kind of laid out for you here this evening. And again, we're generally seeking some consensus or direction from the board on how you'd like to move forward with that. And as I said, George Strom is here. He's going to come up and say a few things. And then afterwards, we'll be happy to answer any questions that you have.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Okay.
Thanks, everybody. Madam President and trustees, I'm George Strom, Vice President of Municipal Services for LRS. And obviously, my family's business was Roy Strom, did sell December of last year. As the business dynamics has changed and consolidation within our industry, we felt it was a very good time for our family to kind of allow my father to retire, move to Florida, do his good thing, and I could stay here and keep providing the great service that we had prior to and moving forward. Some of the adjustments, obviously with the transition, we did find that, service did suffer a bit, and we had a meeting in this room actually a few times already to ensure that we can continue to get back to the level that we were at prior, which was that quick call where you used to have one or two people at Strom that would always answer, and you're always used to that friendly face or person on the phone. So we've addressed that with several different things. We have some software now that we can utilize between the community and ourselves. We also realized that while we have a lot of new faces, the village does as well. And we realized that through these conversations that kind of it's such a nuanced program that the village has, which is actually really a great program. But if you're not familiar with it, you may not give the correct information to the residents.
Right.
And so we did develop a joint cheat sheet, as we call it. So now the village has the same one that the people at LRS look at. So now I've noticed actually in the past 2 weeks since our meeting, our missed pickups have dropped significantly from like 30 or 35 in a week to this last week, it was 6 missed pickups. We also decided that we would provide pictures, a lot of picture responses. So when we get to a house and take a missed pickup, we take a picture when we get there and we provide it back to the village to let them understand whether or not we actually did have a miss, to give good quality feedback. A couple other really nice things that LRS is able to do that the Strom family wasn't able to was invest in the company a lot better. We've put over $1 million already into our Maywood location, right a stone's throw from here. So now we actually have a full recycling facility that was not there prior. So if you're looking at the greenest option for the municipality, such as yourselves, I know it's such an important thing. If you think about it, your waste, your recycling, and your yard waste are traveling about, 3/4 of a mile from your community to where they're going to be dumped. The MSW would be then sent out in a from our transfer station. But the recyclable material we process right there. Previously, it was not done. The yard waste is dumped there, and then it's transferred out to a composting facility. So I look at it from a green perspective as, we went ahead with a composting program, but now you also probably have the lowest possible carbon footprint in the industry, considering that you are using a dual collect truck, trash and recycling in the same truck, a split truck, and then the yard waste with it only traveling about a half a mile or 3/4 of a mile away. So I do share in the concern of the board and the residents of, you know, the service, because obviously that is what you're looking to get in waste. If your material isn't picked up, that's the biggest complaint that you can have. And so when we were discussing this, I think that it's only fair to put something in that, you know, gives the village kind of the opportunity to hold us accountable, because if we're not doing right by you, then we don't deserve to have this relationship anymore, quite frankly. So I felt like it was a fair thing to ask, you know, hey, let us shape up, let us get our house in order as we switch from Strom to LRS, provide the village and the residents with new marketing material to get them to understand the program. Because one thing that Strom didn't have was a full-fledged marketing team. LRS has 4 full-time people that do marketing every single day. Before, it was me and a Concordia intern. So, you know, it wasn't that good. I'll just put it that way. So if you look at your packet, you know, there's an example of one of the marketing pamphlets that would get sent out. I did have Katie Neary, another municipal manager, come tonight because she's been with LRS for a long time. She can speak to the professionalism that they offer, and she can kind of pick up if I'm missing anything. But I appreciate the opportunity. This is a special place for me. Obviously, my family, you know, my dad was raised in this town, and my grandfather lived here, so it's a very special place for me. So that's about all I've got, but I appreciate your time very much.
George, can I ask a question?
Sure.
I think you're being humble, because I think you've been an excellent marketing person for Strom. In my experience, you have given so much of your time, and Strom has offered so much to the village over and above the contract in terms of helping out with the recycling extravaganza, lemonade,
mm-hmm.
Pumpkin smash, and many other things, I'm sure. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
The survey that the Sustainability Commission did had a lot of responses.
Yeah.
I didn't quite get through all of them, but some of them mentioned some residents mentioned that they generate much less waste than others, and they were looking for another option for a reduced size container and a reduced fee.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've seen in the press, there was a contract with Darien, I think you have that contract, and you offer a smaller bin for a smaller fee, and I wonder if that's a possibility here as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. You know, earlier they're talking about the relationship with the seniors in the community. I definitely think that's something that we should look into. We hadn't done it in the past. I think one of the main reasons was because it's such a labor-intensive process when you have the back-of-the-house service, that we always felt as if, you know, hey, the majority of it is walking back and forth. But having said that, you know, I think what was done in Darien was the reduced capacity. So, you know, if you say, okay, you only get one 32-gallon can versus, you know, the two, then I think definitely we could make some sort of, adjustment.
Awesome.
How about electronic, and I'm surprised, Katie, you didn't ask this, but the collection of electronic waste.
Yeah, I have things to say about that.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah,
I'm like, what's the gas?
No, I wasn't going. I was, giving time to others.
Oh,
but yeah,
okay.
So right now we do have electronic waste pickup, but residents, as most people here know, have to contact Strom or Lakeshore directly, organize a pickup, pay you by credit card over the phone, which a lot of people don't know about. It's probably labor intensive for you. And I'm understanding that one thing that might be possible for you to offer to us would be a regularly scheduled electronics and hazardous waste pickup in the village. Our residents could go onto your website, see when it is, put their stuff out on that day. They don't even have to necessarily, well, maybe they do have to sign up, but there's not an additional cost. There potentially, perhaps we could negotiate that there would not be an additional cost to that service.
So I'm going to pass this to Katie. She actually set up the relationship that we have in our HHW program and the e-waste program, so she can speak to it better than I can.
Good evening, Madam President and trustees. Thank you for having us tonight. So the e-waste and household hazardous waste, you may hear me reference it as HHW. They're two separate programs. So our electronic waste, I mean, we can structure that, how it would work for the village. There's definitely a cost for household hazardous waste, so I just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
It's hazardous waste, and it's very expensive to get rid of. It's expensive to have, you know, a chemist come and pick it up. However, we have a program to where it's basically built into the cost. It's very affordable when we do it this way. So it would be something that would be spread out, you know, for all the residents. And we could definitely incorporate both of those collections. It's become very popular. I think that electronic waste, maybe more so than even the hazardous waste, but the household hazardous waste in this community seems to be a desire. So I would definitely consider looking at it if I were, you know, staff and village board, because just from reading the comments, I couldn't believe how many were on there. You know, some communities, it just wouldn't really be worth it. But I do think that there's a desire here. And if there is a desire, then I mean, I think it's very affordable. The program, the structure, we have it set up so that a resident, it's all done online, or they could call our customer service as well. And it's pretty simple. But we'd like to keep, you know, there is a structure to it. So it's not like on demand, especially with hazardous waste. You have to understand that it's, you know, like I said, it's a chemist coming out, their lab packing as they go. So e-waste is much easier. That's something that we handle in-house. And so pretty much it's two separate programs, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Ken.
I actually, first of all, thank you, because I had a lot of questions, but you answered them during your presentation. The one thing I would just add is that I appreciate what you're doing in marketing, but it's so important to our residents to be educated on processes, and that, I'm looking at your marketing material dated April 2021. Like, how often do you market any of your services or new initiatives that come on?
Well, and in this, there's two things to address. I would say, I mean, we can do it every year. We can put something out every year, and maybe this is, I think that this is deserving of that. So that's something that we would, you know, work out with staff, and we could do it every year, just send out a brochure every year, or there's, you know, downloadable ones. So we'll have and I believe what we have already discussed is having a web page for on our LRS page, but you can also, you know, download the brochures at any time. And but with e-waste and electronics, I would do a separate brochure for that, and it would be all by itself, because it's just too much information otherwise.
Thank you.
Sure. I've got a question. So maybe Jeff, to you, when we're looking at pricing, are we saying you can do curbside or backdoor, or we're just doing one?
No, the way it's set up right now is that if you're on an alley, you basically have curbside where your totes are just in the alley. Everybody else is getting backdoor service.
Okay.
And then that cost is, and correct me if I'm wrong, that cost is universally the same across the board.
I see.
It just depends on your setup.
Okay. All right. Great. The toters in the alley, right?
I have a question. So you mentioned that...
Hang on, Bob. Erica is speaking. You got your little hand up. Sorry. I have to admit.
I follow the rules. Go ahead, Erica.
You're up in the corner there, Bob.
See?
So we mentioned that there were residents who were having issues getting to somebody that they could actually get to. You mentioned there's some investment in some software that facilitates those calls. Can you tell us more about that? So, like, how are you better handling that?
Sure. So so there's a couple different pieces of it. And what we had looked at on the hold time specifically, that was the issues that came up in some of the surveys. So there's a two parts to answer that. One of them was that the village currently, so it's kind of technical, but so when Roystrom, when you would call, we didn't have in our software all of the residents' addresses listed. We just kind of would, we had one general account for the Village River Forest. If there was an issue, we would create a ticket and send it out. Well, what we didn't track really the specific incidents per house. So if you were at, one-on-one Thatcher, and you were calling every week, I really actually probably didn't know that easily that you kept calling over and over again. And so one thing that LRS can actually do is we got a list from the village of all the addresses, and then now every single resident has actually kind of a like an account.
And so then we can start to track when there are incidents, repeat incidents, it actually creates alert and puts it on the driver's route sheet that they have, you know, that 100 or 101 Thatcher is having multiple incidents and it needs to be investigated and give a response back. So that was one of the things that we did. The other part of it is we have a shared document where if a resident calls the village and puts a ticket issue in, they can just now update a shared spreadsheet that we see immediately and provide an update as to when it'll be serviced, when it's closed out, and what we did about it. So previously what would happen sometimes is if a resident didn't get an answer from the LRS side, they would call the village. And then the village would send an email over, and it would kind of go back and forth. And some cases it may take, you know, 24 hours to get a response. So the resident would keep calling, you know, us and the village. Or now there's that shared document where the village staff can see or will be able to see, you know, what we've done about it. Have we closed the ticket out? When did we close the ticket out? Or if we haven't, like let's say it's an e-waste they called in on or a bulk item, when we are going to service it. So at least when they do call it again, they can say, yeah, I see it's on the board here. They've got it scheduled to be tomorrow morning. So those are some of the ways that we can provide a better service, I believe, than previously. Because in some cases, it's just the perception that they're not being heard rather than not. Now they can see, and we can provide that with, yep, we did see that you were missed last week. We do have it as a special ticket order, and we're going to handle it moving forward. And then I think also part of the challenge is, you know, with Strom changing to LRS, and, you know, we wanted to keep everything the same. But with this extension, you know, I would challenge us to push forward and start using more LRS branding because I think you would ultimately get better service over time with less confusion because right now it's, you know, hey, it's Roy Strom, but they answer the phone, it's LRS. As we transition to the more of a full-time LRS, you're going to get more of that marketing material. A lot of the things that the larger corporation can provide, I think, ultimately will give a better product to the resident, quite frankly.
Sounds good. And so I imagine that if the driver is getting the notification from, you know, one house several times, that there's, like, some sort of supervisor.
Yeah, so we have we actually have two, Dave Butera, Joe Turco. One was the Legacy Strom supervisor. The other is LRS. They both are still in Maywood here. And so they are supposed to check in the village at least once a week and see how everything is going. And then they would provide updates, which you'll see. I mean, my email is like nonstop with, you know, their responses on what they're working on and stuff like that.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. And I apologize. We also have Katie reminded me with, which is really neat. And this is something that we didn't have, a Third Eye, which is a software. So all the trucks now that we have 360 camera on them, and they're recording all the time. So we like to call them like mobile data centers. And so in some cases, when you are, you know, have a house that's saying there's an issue, in some cases you can pull that feed up after the fact and provide it back to the village. Probably would be best in alley collection for River Forest specifically because you can see if the cart was actually dumped. And that's something that's really helped before. Also, if there's damage, you know, someone says, hey, you hit my tree, you know, hit my car or whatever. And also it's been used before if there's any crime, you know, we've provided the camera footage to the police department if they would have requested it.
Yeah. George, you might have seen or read in the packet.
Oh, wait a minute. We forgot.
Oh, sorry, Bob. Sorry, Bob.
Yeah, sorry, Bob.
Your turn.
Jeez.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you. So Jeff, if you could, so your recommendation is to renegotiate to put some kind of performance incentives in there. Am I reading that correctly?
Correct. It's basically a 1 year, an opt out clause after year one if those metrics are not met.
Okay. And so under our current contract, you guys are going to still have to go through and establish a new rate, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And obviously, do we have any inkling at this point in time what kind of increase we could be looking at given the price of fuel prices and other things that are going on in the world of what we could be looking at here? Or is that part of your, will that kind of, you'll bring that back to us as part of the negotiation?
That's something we would have to bring back to you at a future date once we get into a negotiation. We really don't know. You know, short of going to market, it's really tough to say. We have talked with, you know, George and their team about, you know, potentially looking for some opportunities where we could even, you know, not reduce rates per se, but reduce increases. You know, the compost side looks like it's ready for a little bit of a sharpening of the pencil. So I think there are opportunities that where we can really take advantage of this situation and kind of improve the cost for the current level of service, and then even improve upon that with improved levels of service. So I don't think that this is a one-way road where everything's just going to keep going up. That may be the case, but the rate to which it does might be, we might be in an advantageous spot right now. So I don't think it's automatic.
Okay. So in case they don't let me get on again, Jeff, I agree with your recommendation.
Thank you, Bob.
Put your hands
up. Thanks, Bob. Okay.
Got
it.
So,
following up on the composting that Bob had started on, the Sustainability Commission is asking that the negotiations that we negotiate with an eye toward reducing our landfill, increasing our composting, and specifically they had asked to talk about opt-out composting. Can we talk about that, what that would look like?
Sure. So for those of you who might not know, opt-out compost is basically just everybody gets the service unless you go and opt yourself out of the program. Right now it's opt-in. You have to go and opt into the program. One of the things that in staff's research we found was that Oak Park recently just did this contract, and it kind of took a different approach on that. They as part of their going to the market, they got a price, and they ended up, I believe they just approved a couple weeks ago with Strom and LRS, or just LRS. It's an all-in program. So there is no opportunity to opt out. They got pricing for every, just like recycling. They got pricing for everybody to participate in composting, but they're not kind of engaging that element of the contract yet. They got the numbers so that they're there if they want to head in that direction in the future. So certainly something that we have on our radar that we would discuss with the Strom and LRS team, given the Sustainability Commission's goals in that regard.
Right.
I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
So excuse my ignorance, but the composting is, that was like an additional $25 or $35 a month, or am I, is that correct?
It's around $20.
Yeah, it's just north of $20 a month.
Oh,
okay.
So we bill quarterly. No, we bill. Don't we bill quarterly?
To be honest, I don't know.
Every 2 months. Oh.
Did you want to say something else about that, George?
I just would comment that, you know, when we first started the composting program like 7 years ago, it was one of the first in the state of Illinois. And it was really unique too, because, you know, Oak Park had the program. They were an alley service, pretty much only town. And, you know, we were challenged to come up with a solution. So we went and got a state of Illinois grant, you know, bought the trucks, did everything to move it forward in the community, you know. And at the time, we didn't really know kind of the participation rates, what they would be. And a lot of it was kind of guesstimate work, if you will, because it really didn't happen much in Illinois yet. Since that time, you know, it's changed quite a bit. There may be a handful that have a full opt-in or opt-out program, specifically in, you know, Oak Park, as mentioned. You know, they're going to continue with the program that they have in place. One of the things they do allow is that shared pricing, which was something that we have always been an advocate of. I think it was just kind of a challenge at the time with the, you know, specific way that they're invoiced within the village. We would be totally open to, you know, a shared program where residents, neighbors can share and the cost is spread out that way. I don't have any specific preference, as I've always kind of thought this town is, we try to cater to whatever the specific need is. So if it's something that they're willing to look at, we will obviously look at it as well.
Just the idea of an all-in service, it's really amazing. I know several families who the composting is too expensive for them. So the idea that everyone could get, you know, access to composting, interesting.
Certainly, certainly, and there would certainly be some who didn't want to participate, so that's why the idea of what Oak Park did was kind of intriguing, so that we would have that information and those rates ready to go if we ever chose to move in that direction.
Yeah, and I think it just to close the circle on the discussion, those who do compost are clearly reducing the weight of their landfill trash, and we're all covering, we all have the, for the most part, we do have two different price tiers, the regular and the optional special service where you can throw bags of stuff in the landfill. But those who are paying, who are opting into compost are actually reducing the amount of landfill that they're putting in, but they're still paying the same amount. So it would, making it opt out would make it more equitable in many ways.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And one final thing that I'll say is that I like the idea of the 5-year contract, but with the 12-month opt out. But I understand that that's probably difficult for Lakeshore because we can opt out after a year. And if you're doing all these things for us, I'd like to consider whether we can, help defray the cost of the, if we do an opt out composting program, if we can help defray the cost of the totes by some of the money that we got from this NC Squared program,
yeah,
that's in the Sustainability Commission budget.
I don't know off the top of my head, certainly something we could look at as part of this if that's, frankly, it sounds like, and I guess I would ask the board, is opt out, is all in compost? Is that something you'd like us to explore at this time or at least get the numbers on?
I would think opt out would be a little bit more aligned to, if you just say all in, you're going to get people like, I don't want to spend that kind of money. Or I have my own compost. My neighbors have their own compost.
I'm not sure what
you're talking about opt-in, right? Versus
yeah, opt-in. So right now the program is opt-in. Nobody's composting unless you want to.
Right.
Opt-out, everybody's composting, but right, you have an opportunity to get out of that program if you elect not to.
Right.
All-in composting is just like your recycling. Everybody's getting it. Everybody's paying for it, whether you use it or not.
Right. And so, I'm saying, I think that, and you're charging for it. Right?
Correct.
It's free.
Correct.
So that might be tough for River Force people to say, let me just spend another $40 every 2 months.
So fair enough. At that point, would you say, and I guess I'm asking all of you, we like the idea of kind of maintaining the level of service where it's opt-in like we have now, and everybody is voluntarily going to that program should they choose to, or opt out where everybody is entered into it and they have the opportunity to remove themselves if they so choose.
I should know this, Jeff, but what is the percentage of users of compost?
It's about 10%.
There you go.
10%. There are about 400.
10%. That sounds going to be higher.
Yeah, a little higher.
A lot of people don't know about it.
You think that's it? Okay.
It is a lot, and it's also expensive.
I do think we have to explore all the options. Again, at the end of the day, I think that what the Sustainability Commission wants is basically to really drive down our waste, right? So, increase waste diversion and do that through electronics recycling, do that through composting, do that through recycling, et cetera. But we have to keep it at a good price point because we understand that that's important to residents as well.
So, we need magic.
Options. We'll bring you lots of options. That's fine.
The one final thing I'll say is, George, did you see in the survey responses that there's someone who is wondering if elementary school students can go take a tour of your recycling facility?
I did see that. I've done in River Forest before presentations in person at the schools. I personally am always a little bit concerned with, children at these facilities, just for safety reasons. I have no problem bringing, board members or, municipal staff to these locations, but I just personally think that in some cases it may be more better, I guess, to put it, for us to go to the school to give a presentation, videos.
Right.
There's so much information now that you can show at their desk rather than in person.
Okay.
Just for me, it's much more comfortable,
So do a virtual tour is what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
That makes sense. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And then the one thing too, just to comment on the opt-in or opt-out composting program.
you know, you have the yard waste stickers is something that's commented quite a bit too, you know, and that's gotten a bit higher and higher and higher and higher for every year, 10 cents, 10 cents, 10 cents. So that's something that needs to be looked at, I think, quite frankly. And in some cases, you know, if you have this balancing act, you know, at what point is it cheaper for me when I have one or two bags every week to switch to the composting program? So that needs to find, we need to figure out some metric there or a cost where you could say, hey, listen, if you have two bags a month or three, you know, you could just do this composting program and it's the same or something to that effect. So we did just to also throw it out there, you know, there was over, I think it was, we had just kind of made a handshake agreement that, you know, hey, if we get over 100 participants in the first year, we would freeze the composting program cost, you know, in the first year of the contract. And we did do that. So actually our price is lower than the agreed contract. And the opt-in, opt-out is in Oak Park specifically, if they were to do, everyone had to get it, it was a 32-gallon cart rather than the 64. That was just another thing to keep in mind, because then they were really going for the true food waste, things like that. So that's something else to keep in mind, what sizes are going to be appropriate for that. And the concern being, if we send out 3,000 carts and 2,500 of them are returned, who's going to, you know, take the risk on that? It's a concern that's always been there.
Yeah.
Because that's okay. A very big investment.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the time. Thank you okay. So much.
I would like to make one comment. Based on what I heard, I'm supportive of the staff's recommendation to renegotiate for 5 years. But also another point is that Strom is located in Maywood, and I think one of the covenants we had with Maywood was looking for business opportunities to support each other. I think this would fit in that covenant. So something else to look forward to.
So I think you've got, it sounds like consensus.
Yeah.
So negotiate away.
We will do, and we'll certainly bring that back for further consideration when we get there.
Yep.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, and thank you, George. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. Okay, so that concludes our regular meeting.
Hey, Kathy.
Yeah.
Kathy, yeah. I got one more thing that's popped up on my email. For those of you, well, for residents who don't know, our own Fenwick Friars will be playing in the IHSA 5A football state championship on Saturday at Northern Illinois University. So anybody who wants to go out, the game's at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. And we wish the Friars good luck.
Yeah.
Okay, thank good.
Thank you, Bob. Yep.
Okay.
They're in the hunt. Okay.
Okay.
So yeah, if I can get a motion to move into executive session four, you know it.
Well, I move to enter into executive session to discuss collective bargaining and the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the village.
Second.
Is there another Zoom number, Lisa?
Hold on, Bob.
Okay.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yeah.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.